Nansuk Hung was a member of the Unification Church's royal family. She was the daughter-in-law of its founder, the Reverend Sun Myung-moon, and was the wife of his oldest son, Hyo Jin, the heir apparent. For 14 years, Ms. Hung lived well, very well, on an estate in Irvington, New York. She was chauffeured everywhere, had chefs prepare her meals and people to pick up after her. But early in the morning of August 8, 1995, Ms. Hung, with her five children, drove through the gates of the East Garden Estate for the last time. She left behind her marriage and an entire life spent in the Unification Church, which she says required sacrifices and high morals from its members to pay for the profligacy of the Moon family and inner circle. Nansuk Hung tells her story in a new book titled In the Shadow of the Moons, and she joins us in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you.
You were born into the church. To use the familiar, if derisive, slang, you are a Moonie since birth. Mm-hmm. Your parents were one of the original couples, blessed in marriage by the Reverend Moon in the early 60s. This gave your parents and yourself special standing, even before your marriage to the Sun. Can you describe how you lived?
I was born in Korea. My parents were early members. But we were very poor. My parents went out and witnessed pioneering for Moon. And we grew up in basic poverty level. But it didn't really matter to me because everybody else that I knew are all poor. Later on, it all changed when I came to New York to be married. The lifestyle that Moon had was a very, very lavish lifestyle.
What did you get being the child of an original couple that you wouldn't have otherwise had?
Well, that only came within the church. My parents were 36 couples, and they were the first people to be blessed. The big factor is that Moon was looking for his children's spouse in that 36 couple's children.
And you were married by the age of 15 by arrangement. How did that all come about?
The core teaching of the church is that we let Reverend Moon choose our spouse since he is our spiritual leader. He basically knows who our ideal partner is. So I was brought up to say yes when the time came. And I think some of the people were shocked because there are other older girls who were waiting to be picked. And I was 15, I was totally shocked, I was numb, I just didn't know what the heck was going on with my life.
It was a miserable marriage,
It was horrible marriage, there wasn't any happy moment at all.
He abused drugs?
He abused drugs, later on he became alcoholic. And it started with verbal abuse and became physical abuse. It was horrifying.
When did the abuse start?
The verbal abuse started very early. There was always yelling and the angry shouting. But actual physical abuse started when I was pregnant with my second child. He came back from his routine nightclub hopping. He came back very drunk. And I was doing my daily ritual, which was to pray before I went to bed. So I was praying, and I heard him coming in, but I was going to just finish my prayer first. I wasn't going to just, in the middle of my prayer, I'll say, oh, hi, how are you, honey? So I was praying, and then he just came, and he just slapped me and said, how dare you don't greet me? And from there, he's starting to say how all those typical abusers remark how ugly and fat and how unworthy you are, and your parents are just so horrible, and you should be grateful that you are my wife, and all, et cetera, all these not pleasant words.
And the Reverend Moon and Mrs. Moon knew about his abuse, the beatings, the abuse of drugs, the abuse of alcohol, and they held you responsible for that.
Yes, they blamed me for that. It was my fault that I wasn't this ideal woman who could change Hyojin. I had to pray more. I had to be a better daughter-in-law, and when Hyojin misbehaves, it's because my failure.
Your book tells the story of the origins of the church and the mythology the church members grew up with, and you sum up the teachings of Reverend Moon, the divine principles. What are those?
The divine principle is considered as Reverend Moon's revelation to the mysteries of the Bible. And the members of the church consider the divine principle as the God's word, and which was basically given to Reverend Moon. And it's very sacred. But I see that as a book loosely kind of put together from, yes, Christianity, there's some Buddhism there, Confucius thoughts, and the Asian philosophy. It's kind of a mixture of all the philosophy that you can possibly find, but to give an indication that Reverend Moon is a Messiah and Messiah comes from Korea.
What are some of the principles, though, in terms of the values? Family values played a big part, I know.
Family value is the one that Reverend Moon these days always talks about. He preaches high moral standing. No drug, no drinking, sex before marriage. You have to be absolutely faithful to your husband or wife. If you commit adultery, that's considered as the worst sin of all.
But Reverend Moon had a son out of wedlock.
He did, yes. And he told me that he had extramarital affairs, but he calls it providential affairs. It was necessary to fulfill God's mission.
On page 100, you recalled a Sunday morning service in Tarrytown, New York, where the Reverend Moon spoke for hours at a time to his exhausted followers, and you pondered the reasons people would join the church. You suggested that no one sets out to be a cultist, that they join because of their ideals, and that they're in fact victims of their ideals. Is that what happened? And is that what's still happening?
I think that's what happened to my parents, and I think that's what happened to me, and I think that's what happened to a lot of people that I know. And I'm sure it's still happening. They don't come out to you and say, "We are Moonies. Do you want to give your money up and you want to give your life up?" They don't say that. They come and say, "You want to talk about world peace and you want to talk about harmony." And they come with this idealism. They come with the truth that you cannot argue. And you are somewhat curious and you want to do certain good. And then you have goodness in your heart. And that's how they lure people, and that's how they rob people's heart. Well, I have to say Reverend Moon, not those people who work there. I mean, they are just wonderful people in the church. They dedicate their lives to God. And I blame Moon for all of people's pain and suffering that he caused.
Did you lose faith in the teachings before you lost faith in Reverend Moon himself? Or did they go hand in hand?
I began to lose my respect in Reverend Moon. Seeing him in person, seeing him interacting with people. But I still felt that God was still there, and I had to be there to fulfill my mission, which was to raise my children properly so they could be decent people who could inherit the foundation and do some good for God. When I realized that there was absolutely no hope in that place because of the people there, and when I feared that I was going to be beaten to death by my ex-husband sooner or later, and when I was fearing for my children's safety as well, I felt that it was time to leave.
How did you escape?
After I realized I had to leave that place, I went to see lawyers to see whether I could actually get the custody, because that was the most important aspect of leaving. I couldn't leave the kids behind. And I
You asked them, though, before
I
you planned
ask,
the escape.
Yes.
And what did they say?
Several months before we actually left, I asked the older ones, four. One was about 3-4 months. Four children, I sat down with them and I explained that mommy was leaving their dad, and they have choice to come with their mom or stay with dad. And they all wanted to come with me. But from that time, they kept their secret. It's very difficult for children that small to
How
keep
small
the secret.
How small were they?
Oh, from 12 to, let's see, 5.
And they never told?
Oh, they never told. They never told.
So let's pick up the story of the escape. How did you plan the getaway, so to speak? Because it wasn't easy. You weren't allowed to simply walk out,
no.
either with or without your children.
No. Well, what I feared was that was I actually kidnapping my children, bring the children to Massachusetts. That's where I found a house for us to live. But legally, everything was all taken care of. And according to the lawyers that I hired in Massachusetts, Wednesday was the motion day because I needed to get the restraining order against my husband. So I planned that I should go on Tuesday. I only had one shot. And I was very careful and very secretive of even packing and leaving. People are there and they saw me taking stuff out, but I don't think they could possibly imagine that I would just walk out there.
From all this splendor.
From all this, exactly. I mean, what do I do with five kids and why would you walk away from this anyway? So in the morning, I woke up and also my best friend came and helped me out as well, the last minute packing. I had a minivan. I put my children last. Suitcases, blankets that they were using night before, and then but I was scared to death because right next door Hyojin was there doing his cocaine ritual.
Your husband.
And I could hear his coughing. I asked the kids to be quiet. They were very, very good about it. Even the little, 8-9 months old baby, he didn't make any noise. There's a camera in front of the house where we lived, and I was afraid that there's some security might see that and just to see what was happening. But nothing went wrong, and we drove out of that place. I waved goodbye to the gardener, to the security, and we came out and never looked back.
Is it a difficult adjustment to be, as the Reverend Moon would have it, outside the Garden of Eden?
It was very painful, and I felt very empty. And I felt like an idiot for believing this false family for so long. But, well, you know, what can you do? That's life and that's my past. And at least I woke up when I was 29. And also I could give my children a different setting, different environment, different chance to be somebody else.
What are you doing now?
I'm a big-time mom with five kids. I work in a battered woman's shelter. That's very fulfilling. And I study. I'm trying to get a degree in MSW.
Master's of Social Work.
Yes. And I want to get involved with anti-cult organizations.
Is there anything of value that you could take away from that experience?
Oh, well... Well, only thing I wanted to take, from the place.
Well, I mean spiritually.
No, that's what I'm saying. Only thing that I wanted to take, that I thought they couldn't take it away, was my dignity. And I think I kept it. And that's the only thing I took.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nansu Kung is author of In the Shadow of the Moons.